not too short, that it can't save you and reach anybody. And boy, yesterday there's a little old-fashioned soda fountain on Beale Street in Memphis. And we were going to go down there and get an ice cream. Brother Bo and Miss Hannah were there getting an ice cream. They were so cute there sitting at the ice cream bar and had the little spiral straws, and they were enjoying a milkshake together. And Leslie and I walked over and was getting an ice cream. And I don't know if you know much about Beale Street, but Beale Street's kind of like the Bourbon Street of the North. And they were having a car convention, a car show there on Beale Street that day, and we're trying to make our way toward the ice cream shop. And I saw a lot of people that need to be reached with the gospel of Christ. And a lot of people that you might would look at and think, boy, they're out of reach. They're out of reach. I did not know until today that yesterday was National Marijuana Day. Did I have that correct? Everybody's going to play like you don't know. Very good. We saw people just out in the open smoking and partaking of that out there on the streets. I mean, unashamed of all of that. And you look at our world and you look how bad things are, where people are openly flaunting sin, even our government supporting it, trying to pass laws to protect it. And you're thinking, we are too far gone. Aren't you glad that the grace of God can reach them? The grace of God can reach our country, but we just got to carry it to them. Today, I gave a gospel tract to a lady at Taco Bell, and she was there taking our order, and I gave her a gospel tract. I said, if they'll let you off on Sunday, I'd love to have you come be a guest at our church, come visit with us. And she sat there, and she looked at it for a moment, and she goes, this is pretty good. I'm like, it is. It's really good. The gospel of Jesus Christ is wonderful, but the gospel's got to be taken. If we're going to reach this world, that grace of God has got to be extended. And what a blessing tonight. You and I get to be the hand of God extending the gospel and that grace to them. And I hope you do that. I don't know if I mentioned this. I think I did on Wednesday, but I'm not sure. Around property, you'll see on different welcome desks at different entrances, we have these the small QR code tracks that are out there right now. The blue one is the gospel film track. Caleb Garraway Ministries put this out. A wonderful presentation of the gospel. All someone has to do is take out their smartphone, open up their camera, and scan that QR code. If you have a smartphone, all you do is open it up, put over that, and a website should appear. You click on that, and it's a beautiful presentation of the gospel. Don't take these and leave them in your car and let them get wet in your cup holder. Just take two or three at a time. Be sure you give them out. They're a great opportunity that if you can't present the gospel maybe as clear as you would like, take those with the QR code, and the message is very, very clear. It has our church name on the back of that. It'll be a blessing to those that you give it to. And you'll also see some of these for children. It's a cartoon, very same thing, but Mike Ray put this together. It says he got the answer right. It's a little cartoon about a young man by the name of Jose. It's got the QR code on the back as well. So get you some of those. I carry them around in my pocket. I give these out pretty much everywhere I go. But these I try to give out specifically to people that I believe it'll fit them with their kids and maybe getting to watch a presentation of the gospel. So those are out. Be sure you get some of those. Be sure you give them out. The Lord's coming back real soon, and I would hate for one tract not to be given out. Amen. Titus chapter number 2. If you have your Bibles tonight, Titus chapter number 2. As you turn there, I'm going to just mention a few prayer requests right quick. Miss Bobby Jo told us about Miss Sherry Lee's test results, maybe having some concerning things with her heart. You pray for her. Brother Edwards told me this morning he's having some low blood pressure issues. You pray for him. Miss Faye Lawrence, they are out today. You pray for her. Brother Lawrence sent me a text a little while ago. She's still having some recovery issues from having her heart shocked back into rhythm. So you pray for those folks, particularly with the heart needs that are there in our church tonight. Also pray for a lot of folks on vacation. Titus chapter 2, if you're there, let's stand together, look down to verse number 11. Titus chapter number 2, verse number 11. Brother Michael asked me on the way out of the choir, he said, are you ready to go? I said, not only am I ready to go, I'm excited about preaching tonight. I thank you for the great spirit you had this morning. It was tremendous. And boy, you just had a lot of liberty today, and I appreciate you allowing the Lord to work through you in the message today. Let's do it again tonight. Titus 2, verse number 11. The Bible says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now watch the thought continue in verse 13. looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. And let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for the sweet spirit today. Lord, it's been wonderful. Help us not quench it tonight. Allow you to work. I pray you to work through your word. Help us, Father, see the truth that you would have for us specifically. And Lord, I pray we'd all respond to it. And Lord, I pray that during the invitation time, we'd all be obedient to it. Be with our people that we just mentioned, Lord, who are not with us, who would love to be here. Lord, I pray you'd bless their health. Be with those traveling. But Lord, meet with us tonight in this place, for it's in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. This morning, I spoke with our Sunday school class about the current world events. I didn't speak on them, but how the current world events that are going on right now across our world, whether it be Washington, whether it be over in the Middle East between Iran and with Israel, all of those things have, I think, elevated all of our interest a little bit. I know many of you in here, you enjoy studying in times and prophecy. Some of you maybe not as much as others, but I think all of what's going on has caused all of us to at least perk our ears up a little bit. As we watch what's happening on the news with Israel and Iran, it seems like we are walking on eggshells, and it seems like we're trying to keep something major from happening over there with everyone's measured attack. I think Israel called their attack a limited attack and a limited response, and I believe Iran says when they launched all of those over that the attack was over, and you can tell they're trying not to set off a fuse of something that could detonate into a regional crisis. Now, obviously, we're interested in that. But I think on the spiritual side, all of us have gotten a little bit even more in tune as we watch what's going on over there, realizing that Christ's return is certainly becoming closer and closer to our lifetime. I think we all would probably like to see Jesus come back, but maybe some of us not right now, right? Our young people, our young families, maybe there's milestones we'd like to meet, and as much as I understand that, I also understand God's not going to hold Christ back just for our wants, amen? The older I get, the more I'm looking forward to him coming, and even so, Lord, come quickly. As we notice verse number 13, here's our verse, not our text tonight, but watch the verse. Looking for that blessed hope. Looking for that blessed hope. I'm looking for it. I'm looking more and more for it as each day passes and our world spirals more into chaos. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So notice, watch, it is okay for us to be interested. The Bible says that we are looking for that. That as we are laboring in this life and living according to the will and the word of God, we are looking for the return of our Lord and our Savior. And isn't it wonderful to be able to say he's ours? I'm not fearfully wondering when he's going to break the eastern sky. I'm looking for my Savior. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. As the song says, he is mine. And I'm glad I can say that today. The other night, or I guess it was the other morning, about 2 a.m. was it the other morning? We were laying in bed. And I think someone out at Camp Shelby was just going to have some fun with a fleet of helicopters and flew over our house very, very low. I thought they were landing on our roof. I set up trying to figure out why our house was shaking. I mean, it was shaking. Leslie sits up. What is that? Miley comes running in and jumps into the bed. That's our family rapture drill, okay? We have a rapture drill that if we think it's happening, we're going to go together. Can you imagine how chaotic that's going to be as we all go up there trying to find your family? So the goal is, no, really, Miley was just scared to death. And so she comes running and jumps into bed with us. I says, what is that? And lo and behold, it was a fleet of helicopters flying over our house. The boy, for a moment, for a brief moment. Now you say, well, it's the twinkling of an eye. Okay? Now look, I was in a dead sleep. It felt like it might be the real thing. Obviously, it wasn't because I'm still here. But can I tell you something? My heart began to race because I'm looking for it. I'm looking for it. I'm looking for it now more than I ever have in my life. I understand why he calls it a blessed hope and the glorious appearing. I mean that. When I was a teenager, I'm like, yeah, I believe in it and I'm looking forward to it, but not right now. I mean, think about it. The Lord comes back and you're still in high school. You're thinking, I didn't even get a driver's license yet. But boy, the more you live in this cursed world, you see why it's called the blessed hope and the glorious appearing. But wait a minute. What's interesting is when you keep reading, it doesn't look like he goes into cruise control. That as we look for the appearing of Jesus Christ and we're looking for that blessed hope, you're thinking, we're almost out of here. That the Lord's coming back, he's going to call us home, and we're getting rid of all of this flesh, we're getting rid of all the sin, we're getting rid of all the anxiety, and we're looking forward to it. Hey, let's just coast on in as it appears he's coming soon. But watch how he revs up our spiritual engine in verse 14. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And watch what verse 15 says. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Here's what's amazing tonight as we look for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only are we not to calm down and go into cruise control, he says that verse 14 is how we should be living while we're looking. Okay? And he says it's so important that in the last days, verse 15, you speak it, exhort it, and rebuke it with all authority. He says you better speak this with all authority, that yes, you are looking for his appearing, but verse 14 says you need to be living for his appearing as well. Tonight we're going to preach on that subject just for a few minutes. We're going to take the line out of verse 13. Instead of looking for that blessed hope, we're going to be preaching on living for that blessed hope. For a few minutes, there's three things in verse number 14 of how he would have us to live. Now watch what he says. Verse 15, speak, exhort, and rebuke these things. Specifically, we're going to look at verse 14 tonight. So how should we be living for that blessed hope? Not just looking, but how should we be living? Verse 14, the Bible says, who gave himself for us, speaking of Christ in verse 13, that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Now notice what he's doing. He's reminding us that are saved and that are looking, that we should be living a particular life. What is the life that we are to be living? Well, verse 14 says we are redeemed. Number one tonight, the way that we live for the blessed hope, or are living for the blessed hope, number one tonight, we are living a redeemed life. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Now, stick with me, all right? There's a beautiful picture here of how we're supposed to be living as we're looking for the Lord to come back. The word redeemed means released by payment of ransom. Released by payment of ransom. Now, this is very, very important. When you are saved, God didn't just let you off the hook. I know that you're a sinner. I know that you transgressed my word and your sin separated from me, but I'm just going to let you off the hook. God didn't just let us off the hook. The Bible says that God redeemed us. That means that he made a payment for our sin. That means that you and I were held captive by our sin. And our Father made the payment. I'm sure we've all seen a television show or read a book about someone was kidnapped and they say put $5 million in a briefcase and leave it by the dumpster, you know, on this back alleyway and we'll give you your relative. Have you ever wondered if your family would pay? I do. I wonder sometimes. You know, would they give you the money and get the money for that? That's a ransom. That is a payment to release you from those who have you captive. Now stick with me. I believe we miss out on this important truth of understanding that we're to be living a redeemed life. I'm not living as someone who was let off the proverbial hook. I am living a life of someone that was paid a great price that I could be released from my captors. I don't believe we get this tonight. We're going to try to get it maybe before point number one is over. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, that we were not redeemed with corruptible things. A silver and gold from the tradition of our fathers, the Bible says, but with the precious blood as a lamb without spot and without blemish. Do you realize tonight that the life that you and I get to live, we get to live it because of a price that was paid so that we could? And I'm afraid that we are looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but in the meantime, we're not living for the blessed hope as someone who has been redeemed. Oftentimes, we'll talk to young ladies, and it goes for young men as well, but oftentimes it's young ladies we'll have this conversation with about the value that a virtuous woman has. The Bible says it's above rubies. And we try to help our young ladies understand their value and what God views them as, and not to live cheaply because of the value that God says they have. Do you realize tonight that as a Christian, the value that you and I have is not because of who we are, how we look, how much money we have. The value that we have was placed when God looked down and sent His only begotten Son that we could be saved. And we should be living like someone that a great price was paid for us. Can I ask you tonight, are you living a redeemed life? You weren't just let off the hook. A great price was paid for you. You ever think about it this way? Maybe we'll come a different direction. You ever think about the fact that a king died for you? A king died for you. The NBA players and the Hollywood stars, we have pictures on our walls as kids. They don't even care who you are. The people that we idolize in music and all of these things, they don't know who you are and they don't care who you are. But the God of heaven sent Jesus Christ to live and to die for you and I. Suddenly, I don't have value of myself, but I have value because of what was paid for me. And the Bible says that we need to speak, exhort, and rebuke. What kind of truths? Well, the truth that He gave us, the Bible says, gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity. 2 Corinthians 5:15, the Bible says, they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him that a great price was paid that I could live the life that I live. Folks, I want you to know something. You may not be valuable to anybody else on this planet, but you are valuable enough to God that Jesus was sent to die for you. And the life that we get to live should reflect the fact a great price was paid for me. A great price was paid for my freedom so that a ransom could be met. You know, you think about it that way. Anything God wants and He asks for really is the least we can do, right? Anything God wants is the least we can do. Why? Because of the price He paid. He paid our ransom. I think about years ago, I went to Colorado on an elk hunt, and I took a good friend of mine, Brother Thomas Laird. I took him with me, and we needed a sixth guy to go on this hunt because it made the cost cheaper when you divide it. And so I says, look, I know a guy. I'd love to take this guy on the elk hunt. And so the guys that we're all going with, we agreed. I said, he's a good guy. He's not going to be obnoxious, and he'll keep the room clean. And so we took him with us. Brother Thomas was the guy who saved my life when I had a scuba diving accident. I've told the story a million times. He was the guy who breathed with me so we could get up out of the bottom of the Gulf of Mexico and I could be here today. And so when I was thinking about someone that I would take on this elk hunt with us, he was the first guy that popped in my mind. I'm thinking, you know, if there's anybody that I want to do something for, it's the guy who saved my life. I mean, the least I could do, right? So we get up there in the Rocky Mountains. This was 2014. 2013, I killed an elk. 2015, I killed an elk. But 2014 was a slow year. And we're sitting up there, and we're glassing a hill. And I look down, and I see Brother Thomas walking through the meadow. I'm talking about he's a half a mile away, and I'm watching him by binoculars. And he just walks on through. And probably, I don't know, about 20 minutes later, kaboom! I sent him a text. I said, did you shoot something? I said, I haven't even seen as much as a squirrel. He said, yeah, I just shot a big 6x6. I'm like, no, you didn't. He's like, yeah, I did. And he sent me a picture. And he sure did. Do you know the rest of the trip, I didn't see the first elk. Somebody said, I bet that stinks that you invited him and he killed the elk. I said, not at all. I said, why? I said, that guy saved my life. And I figure, look, is that all I had to swap out, right? He saved my life. I gave him an elk. We're even. Now, I hope my life is worth more than an elk, but he seemed to be good with it. You say, well, you weren't mad that you didn't kill anything? Paid $600 for an elk tag. My wife asked me when we got home, do you get a refund if you didn't kill anything? No. That elk tag is in my office. It sits right behind my desk. My wife says it's the most expensive piece of art we have hanging on the wall in my office. It cost $600 for that little piece of blue paper. You weren't mad that you invited him and he killed the elk? Not at all. Why? That guy saved my life. Least I could do was take him elk hunting. That's the way it is for our Savior. No matter what he asks of us, it's the least we can do. Why? He didn't just save our life, he saved our soul. It's the least I can do. Watch. While we're looking in verse 13, we ought to be living a redeemed life. Watch how far Peter and the other disciples took it in Acts chapter 5. You read down to verse 40, verse 41, the Bible says, when they had beaten them, they let them go. The Bible says that as they went away, they departed rejoicing, that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. You say, they must have hit those boys in the head. That's what it was. Knocked them around and those guys weren't in there. No. They went away rejoicing that they were allowed the privilege to suffer for the name of Christ. They're thinking, this is the least we can do for all that he did for us. You see, what they were doing was they were living this redeemed life. I asked Brother Aaron this earlier. I couldn't find all of the details. There's a song we sing. We've sang it at Smite for many years. And it's Lord Send Me Anywhere by David Livingston. He wrote the song. And Frank Garlock, what wrote the music to it? One of his friends wrote the music to it. That's Miss Shelley Hamilton's father. And she'll be with us this fall. And the song says, no sacrifice could be too great for me to live for thee. No sacrifice. You know, we think when we get saved that we're saved and we're under grace, not under the law, and we can live however we want. Not at all. Because we've been redeemed, we now have the responsibility to live up to the price that was paid for us and to the best of our ability. Boy, a great price was paid for me. A great price was paid that I could be free from sin and ransomed from the prison that held me. I have a responsibility to not only live up to the law, but try to live up to the highest standard of grace I can, because grace is higher than the law. Number one, what kind of a life are we living? Well, we're living a redeemed life. Number two, I feel like you're getting that, so we can move on, okay? You may be fooling me, but I feel like you're getting it. How else are we to live while we're looking? Verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify himself unto himself a peculiar people. So notice the first step of our new life. We are redeemed, all right? So we are looking. How are we living while we're looking? We're living a redeemed life. We're living up to the standard of a great price that was paid for us. But not only that, the Bible says he redeemed us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. And boy, this is a beautiful, beautiful picture. Not only did he redeem us, but the Bible says that after we are redeemed, he wants us to be purified. Purified. Number one, we're living a redeemed life. Number two, we're living a refined life. And purify unto himself a peculiar people. Now, I want you to think about it this way, all right? Although a sinner is of a great value to Christ, a saint is a great value for Christ. All right, you see the difference? The Bible says that Christ died for all. Does it matter who you are or what you've done? Christ died for all of us. So sinners are of a great price to him, but the saint is a great value for him. Where do we find our value? Well, it's in that part of verse number 14, when we are purified unto himself. It's kind of like a diamond in the rough. I've never found one that I've ever seen a diamond in the rough. But January the 19th of this year, there is a crater diamond park or diamond crater park up in Arkansas. I've seen it many times. I've never been there. And they'll come through and they'll plow the ground and the rain will come. And people get to go out and look for diamonds in Arkansas. For those of you that might be thinking about getting engaged, young men, that might be a good start for you. Save some money on that. And there was a young man, I can't remember where he was from. Was it Finland or Sweden? January the 19th of this year, he found a diamond on the ground, 7.46 carats. And we have a picture of it, don't we? 7.46 carats. There he is. Looks like a guy that would have a 7-carat diamond, doesn't it? Old redneck walking out there, found him a piece of glass, 7.46 carats, okay? Now, that's a diamond, but it doesn't look like a diamond, does it? Right now, as you looked at that, you wouldn't think that it has much value, but we all know what happens to diamonds, right? They begin to cut those diamonds, and they begin to polish those diamonds. And the more that that diamond, if we could, for the sake of illustration, becomes purified, what happens? The greater the value. Now, I want you to think about a diamond just for a few minutes. Let's stay on that for a second. I like a good illustration. The more you cut it and the more you polish it, do you know what a diamond does? It reflects light. They're called facets, where all of those edges and all of those flat spots in a diamond, they reflect light. It's kind of like our ladies when you get engaged. I've seen it happen so many times. I saw it with my wife when we got engaged. It's amazing how when they walk through buildings right after they get engaged, for some reason, gravity no longer has effect of their left hand. It just floats. And you can see the sparkle across the room. Now, that old boy's diamond, it didn't sparkle when he found it. It had to be purified. It had to be cut, and it had to be polished. And the more it is cut, and the more it is polished, the more that it does what? Reflects light. Watch. When we get saved, we are sinners saved by grace. Old things pass away. Behold, all things have become new. But there's some purifying that needs to happen. That as we are looking for the coming of the Lord, we are living as a redeemed people. But not only redeemed, we're living as a refined people. Meaning we're letting God cut and polish. Can I be honest with you tonight? I don't like being cut and polished. I don't like being cut, and I don't like being polished. You know, when that diamond gets cut, pieces are being knocked off. But they're being knocked off so that it shines and reflects the light greater. Now, wait a minute. What does our Bible say? Our Bible says, let our light so shine before men. Do you know a Christian that'll let God purify and cut and polish them? They're going to reflect His light even better. And the Bible says that when they see our good works, like that diamond on the hand of the newly engaged young lady, they see the sparkle. Suddenly, boy, they realize something's been going on. Yeah, they got engaged. The Bible says we glorify our Father the more that we shine. Number one tonight, let's live a life that's redeemed. A great price was paid for us. Let's live up to the value of as best we can. Number two, as we're looking for the coming of the Lord, let's live a refined life. Let's allow the Lord to clean us up, to polish us, to purify us. Psalms 51:10, David says, create in me a clean heart. Why? A clean heart's more valuable. A clean heart is more. You say, well, are you saying that I am less valuable than this person? If you're dirty, yes. Paul said to Timothy that if a man will purge himself of these, that means purify and clean, that he is a vessel meet for the master's use. We were at Bob Jones the other day and at the competition, and we're in the cafeteria, and you know all that's automated, so it's not anybody's fault. And boy, I pulled out a butter knife, and I looked at it, and there was something on it. And I'm a country boy, and I'm sure it was the purified germs that were on there, but I just didn't want to eat somebody's leftovers on my fork or on my knife. I didn't want to, it was no value to me. I didn't plan on using it. Why? It's dirty. It was nasty. I'm not going to use that thing. So the value is less. Would we all say tonight that something that's more useful is more valuable? Amen. Then why aren't we more useful by becoming more purified? Romans 12, I will not take the time to read it tonight because time has flown by as we're having fun. Romans 12, 1 and 2, we know the Bible says we present our bodies a living sacrifice. And what is the next word? Holy. Holy is purified. Holy is separated. It is sanctified. It's meat for the master's use. Why? Go on down to the end of verse number 2. The Bible says that we may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You're not going to prove much while you're dirty. You're not going to prove much while you're not pure. You're not going to prove much as that diamond in the rough. But boy, you let God begin to cut and polish who you are, and you reflect the light of God, and suddenly your life becomes a testimony. Why? Because you're living a refined life. You're letting God clean you up, polish you up, and we never grow out of that. Number two, the refined life. How are we doing on that? We're looking, but are we living that refined life. And finally, I'll give you this. Verse 14 says, He gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity. The Bible says, purifying Himself a peculiar people. And then watch. Oh, I love this last part. The Bible says, a peculiar people zealous of good works. I love the word zealous there because the word zealous means burning desire. It's zeal. Burning desire. Now, this is important because what it's showing us is that what we are purifying, and although you see it on the outside, it's not just for show. Which, how often is that the case? It's just for show. You see, the difference in doing something just for show and having a zeal is an inner burning desire. That means not only have we cleaned it up on the outside, but there's something burning on the inside. It's a spiritual resolve. This is number three. As we are looking for that blessed hope, let's live for the blessed hope and let's live a resolved life. Notice he's telling us in verse 14 that purification, holiness, redeeming from iniquity, that's not just what we do, that's who we are. It's something on the inside. Boy, I love the prophet Jeremiah. Obviously, we share the name, and so I read a lot on him as a teenager. And what you read about this young man that God had called to preach, and he says, God, I can't speak for I'm a child. And God says, oh no, you're going to speak exactly what, you're going to root up, you're going to tear down, you're going to build up, all of these things. And what you read about Jeremiah where the Bible says he got to a place where he was done. I'm done. I have been jealous for you and your name, and it's caused me nothing but grief. And do you know what he goes on to say? He says, but he couldn't forbear. I mean, he couldn't hold back, he couldn't quit, he couldn't stop, because his word was as a fire in his bones. It wasn't a show. It was an inner zeal. He was zealous of the good works that he was doing. Can I encourage you something tonight before we close? As we are looking for the blessed hope, let's keep living for the blessed hope. Let's live a redeemed life. Remember, a great price was paid to ransom us. Let's live up to it. Let's live up to it. Had a kid years ago, was in a swimming pool, and kid jumped in and got a mouthful of water and went unconscious. I jumped in the pool, pulled this kid out, and I got him up on the thing and on the side of the pool. And Brother Jamie Williamson had taught us CPR years ago. And I started doing CPR on this kid and chest compression, pull back and forth, and this kid's eyes would roll back in his head. And long story short, boy, after several minutes, well, the kid's eyes began to come down, and he was in this shock. And we had an ambulance come out and went to the hospital, and he was fine. Had pneumonia, and he was fine. And a few days later, I got to go see him. His name was Junior. And I looked at him and I said, Junior, I said, God could have just as easily taken you home, but God chose to leave you here. God gave you life. Now go live up to all the potential you have, because God spared you. God spared you. All of us are Junior in a way, because God spared us. Let's live a redeemed life. Great price was paid that we could be saved. Now let's live up to the price as best we can, a redeemed life. How do we do that? Well, let's live a refined life. Is there something in your life God wants to clean up? A dirty spot on your butter knife? You're more valuable to God if you'll let Him clean you up. But I believe it really all begins at the end of verse 14. Zealous is something that happens on the inside first. Inside first. Look, you may not look like much on the outside, but if you got it on the inside, that's what matters most. And then the outside will follow suit later. But if all we're doing is putting on a show, acting like a Christian, but there's no zeal in there, I promise you, you're not going to last very long in the will of God and the work of God. It's got to be that burning desire on the inside that I am looking forward to with zeal, zealous of good works. Let me ask you this, and I'm done. That word zeal means burning desire. What do you get fired up about? What do you get fired up about? What burns on the inside? Is it something burning on the inside to make sure that that next person you see gets a gospel tract? When's the last time you gave it a gospel tract? When's the last time you witnessed to somebody? If we're looking for the blessed hope, we're living a life with resolve that when he comes, I want to find me laboring with a burning desire for what counts for the cause of Christ. Folks, I am looking for the blessed hope. I really am. I never thought as a young man, why I'd say that, because as a young man, I'm like, oh, you know, maybe 20, 30 years, let me get some grandkids. And then you can come back. I'm ready to go. And I'm looking for that blessed hope. I'm looking for it. I don't know if that's east. That's probably north, isn't it? So I guess that would be east over there. Okay. I'm looking the wrong way, but I'll see him regardless. Are you living for the blessed hope? Are you living a redeemed life, a refined life, a resolved life? If not, he hasn't come yet. That's why he says, rebuke, exhort, speak, cry out. Why? Because just like he said, he's coming. We shouldn't just be looking for him. We should be living for him. Amen? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stop there. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet.